Hello and welcome to episode 5 of Women's Soccer Zone, the last edition of 2014. So thank you in advance to those that have downloaded a show or just followed us on Twitter over the course of the year. Much appreciated. And as always, it is an absolute pleasure to bring you this show. So what do we have on this edition? Well, the main interview, well, the only interview for this episode is an extended interview with Veronica Boquet. Of course, Boquet played for a number of clubs this year. She, of course, started the year in Sweden with Tyresö, played in the NWSL for the Portland Thorns, and is currently playing out in the Frauen Bundesliga with Frankfurt. So an in-depth interview with Vero talking about the World Cup draw and, of course, her time playing in those leagues. We'll also have roundups from a few of our correspondents in some of the leagues that are ongoing at the moment. Of course, the W League has now come to a conclusion, and congratulations to Cambria United for coming through in the grand final against Perth Glory. And we will, of course, bring you some of the latest news going on in the world of women's football. The English WSL has seen a number of transfers take place in the last few weeks, so we shall go through them. So without further ado, let's get going.
Women's Soccer Zone. Follow the show on Twitter at WOSO Zone.
So we're going to start this latest edition with our normal news roundup. And as always, we will do our top five news bits from the last few weeks. So in at
number five,
the FIFA Women's World Rankings were released within the last week. And for the first time in over 5 years, the US Women's National Team have been displaced at the top of the rankings by European giants Germany. The Germans, who are of course on a good run after a decent qualification and of course overcoming England at Wembley, have displaced the United States after what can only be described as an indifferent year for Jill Ellis's side. So certainly an interesting one going into 2015. Other notable movers: France have moved up a place to number 3, jumping above Japan. And both England and the Korean Republic have both climbed a place, displacing Brazil and Canada. Australia make up the top 10, along with Sweden, who sit in number 5. The notable climbers in the rankings were Holland, who have climbed 4 places up to 11. And it is the small African nation of Papua New Guinea who are the biggest climbers in the rankings. According to the FIFA website, they are up 85 places to number 48. So congratulations to them, and congratulations to Germany, of course, for finishing 2014 as the number 1 ranked team. So in at
number 4,
Brazilian superstar Marta, who of course makes up the shortlist of 3 for this year's Ballon d'Or, has committed her future to Swedish side Rosengard. Of course, she joined the club halfway through the Swedish Damallsvenskan season after Tyresö were wound up due to financial problems. She's put pen to paper on a 3-year contract that will see her play out what will probably be the next few best years of her career. So a big boost for Rosengard, and even more so, a big boost for the Swedish league. So congratulations to Marta and to Rosengard for being able to finalise those terms. So in at
number 3.
Of course, one of the major warm-up tournaments for the Women's World Cup will be the Algarve competition that usually takes place at the beginning of March. Recently, the free groups were announced. We were aware of the teams that were going to be competing, but now we know who will sit within what group. So I'm going to go through those very quickly. In Group A will be Sweden, Germany, Brazil and China. In Group B, it will be the United States, Norway, Switzerland and Iceland. And in Group C, it will be Denmark, France, Japan and Portugal. So very strong groups there, should make for a very interesting tournament and may give us a little bit of insight into how teams may well line up for when the Women's World Cup begins in June. So in at
number 2,
we say a fond farewell to former US Women's National Team midfielder Laurie Lindsay, who hung up her boots after Cambria United's victory in the grand final down in Australia. Laurie, who won 31 caps for the US from 2005, was of course a representative also in the NWSL with Washington Spirit, and former clubs also include the Philadelphia Independents and the Western New York Flash. So very best to Laurie on her retirement and her future career. And in finally at
number 1.
I've deliberately left the transfer merry-go-round of the FA Women's Super League to the end because there have been a number of moves that have taken place in the last few weeks, and I'm going to go through as many of them as I can as quickly and as promptly as possible. A couple of moves that have happened on the day of recording. Firstly, Hedvig Lindahl, the Swedish international goalkeeper, has left Damallsvenskan's side Kristianstad, and she will be representing Chelsea Ladies in the FA Women's Super League next year. Great signing for Chelsea there. Lindahl obviously recently passed 100 caps for the Swedish national team, so a very experienced keeper coming to Chelsea. Another move that took place today was that of Jennifer Beattie. She has left French side Montpellier and will be joining Manchester City women along with a few other players that we'll go through shortly. I mentioned Hedvig Lindahl joining Chelsea Ladies. Another player who will be moving south to Chelsea is that of Gemma Davison. After 1 year at Liverpool Ladies, Gemma will be returning south, of course, a former Arsenal Ladies player, and she'll be linking up with Emma Hayes along with Hedvig Lindahl and former Arsenal Ladies teammate Niamh Fahey, who also left Arsenal to join Chelsea in the last couple of weeks. So Chelsea certainly making strides and making huge statements with their signings. Now, we mentioned that Niamh has left Arsenal Ladies, but they've certainly been strengthening themselves. We, of course, know that Leanne Sanderson joined the club in the last month or so from the Boston Breakers, and they've also added Bristol Academy pair Gemma Rose and Natalia, adding to the departure of Natasha Harding. That will leave some big holes for Bristol Academy, so some work to do for Dave Edmondson and his staff to try and fill those gaps. Manchester City, we obviously mentioned that Jennifer Beattie will be joining from Montpellier. They also made a big statement in the last few weeks with the signing of England international Lucy Bronze. Lucy, who was arguably one of Liverpool's most consistent performers, will be making the move across to Manchester and will no doubt be part of a very strong squad. And I don't imagine that Lucy or Jenny Beattie will be the only players to come in over the course of the off-season. Just one more to note, that of Millie Bright. She has left FAWSL 2 side Doncaster Rovers Bells, and she will be linking up along with Niamh Fahey, Gemma Davison and Hedvig Lindahl at Chelsea Ladies, so adding firepower to an already potent strike force that contains the likes of Enya Luko and Yuki Agimi. So that will round up our FA Women's Super League look at the transfers that have taken place. A number of players, including the likes of Natasha Dowie, have signed new contracts with their respective clubs, so we will go through them another time. But that will round up our news items for this episode, and when we come back, we will have a look at some of the leagues with some of our correspondents.
Women's Soccer Zone would like to thank our partners, She Kicks Magazine. Subscribe at shekicks.net for even more women's football.
So we're going to have a look at some of the leagues that are ongoing at the moment. Obviously, leagues like the French and the German divisions will be going into their winter breaks. So we'll start with the conclusion of the W League down in Australia. And of course, it was triumph for Canberra United over Perth Glory in the grand final. But to give us more information on that and the season overall, we go to our correspondent, Rachel Collier. So, Rach, what's been going down in Australia?
Canberra United pulled off a shock in Sunday's W League Grand Final at the NIB Stadium in Perth. The team in green overcame the minor premiers Perth Glory 3-1 to claim the championship in emphatic style. American import Stephanie Oach unleashed a sweet 18-metre strike to open the scoring for Canberra, but Glory captain Colette McCullum produced her own 20-metre bullet to level the score in the 63rd minute. With the game in the balance, Ashley Sykes produced a double blow to secure Canberra their second championship. Sykes scored her first in the 75th minute when she latched onto a neat lob, shook off defender Shalina Zdorsky before calmly drilling past the advancing keeper. Then, in the 78th minute, Sykes headed into an empty net to seal the deal and silence the 2,671 strong crowd. In between Sykes' two goals, Canberra goalkeeper Chantelle Jones saved a Kate Gill penalty. Sykes was an overwhelming choice as the best player on the park, scoring two goals in the space of 3 minutes. Canberra were absolutely terrific, giving retiring US star Laurie Lindsay the perfect send-off and 15-year-old sensation Grace Meyer rising to the occasion after she was a shock choice to start the game. It capped off a rollercoaster season for the girls in green, who faced the pressure of needing at least a point in their final regular season game against the Glory just to make the top four. After clawing out a 2-1 win to finish third on the table, United needed 120 minutes and a penalty shootout to get past Malvern Victory last weekend to qualify for their third grand final. In comparison, Glory put on another strong performance, beating Sydney FC 3-0 in 90 minutes at the NIB. Perth entered the grand final as the hottest of hot favourites after setting new records for most goals scored with 39, most points accumulated with 30, and for starting the season with 6 straight wins. In contrast, Canberra only scraped into the finals after beating an understrength Perth Glory outfit 2-1 in the final round. Perth Glory coach Jamie Harnwell said, "I'm so proud of the girls. We've broken records this season. No one can deny who the best team is, but we just couldn't be the best team in the grand final." In other news, Matildas head coach Alan Stadgett named a 32-player squad for a January 2015 training camp at the Australian Institute of Sport in Canberra. Running from the 12th to the 15th of January, the training camp is the first step in the Matildas preparation for the 2015 FIFA Women's World Cup. It will be the first chance for Stadgett to get together with the girls since his appointment in September 2014. Stadgett has recalled a number of players including Ellie Brush, Danielle Brogan and Hayley Crawford. Meanwhile, Kaya Simon returns after a year off due to an ACL injury. Stadgett is in the process of confirming the details of the Westfield Matildas preparation program for the 2015 World Cup and is excited to start off the new year with an intense training camp. The Matildas have been drawn in Group D alongside USA, Sweden and Nigeria. I've been Rachel Collier. Thank you so much for listening to the W League Roundups. I'll speak to you in the new year. Have a Merry Christmas.
Big thanks to Rachel as always, and many, many thanks to her for her continued updates. So enjoy the off-season, Rachel, and we will see you in 2015. And a big shout out to our friends, the Women's Game, who continue to provide second to none coverage of the league. And I'm sure that next year that will be no different. So that's Australia concluded. We now move over to America. And of course, the US Women's National Team have been in action down in Brasilia in the Four Nations tournament with Brazil, China and Argentina. So here's Sarah Gerke to give an overview of what's been going on out in America.
The U.S. wrapped up a disappointing Brasilia International Tournament on Sunday with a scoreless draw with Brazil. Brazil won the tournament without extra time or penalty kicks as they had more points. The United States women's national team opened the tournament on December 10th against China. As was the case during the CONCACAF Championships, the U.S. started off slowly and only managed a 1-1 draw. Earlier this year, the U.S. easily dispatched the Chinese with a 2-0 and 3-0 victory in April. Just a few days later, the U.S. faced Brazil in front of a spirited home crowd. The U.S. took an early lead with a goal apiece from Carly Lloyd and Megan Rapinoe inside the first 10 minutes of the match. What looked like a dream start for the Americans eventually turned into a nightmare caused by Brazilian superstar Marta. Marta finally scored for Brazil in the 19th minute, bringing the score to 2-1 to close the half. She gave what looked like an impassioned and possibly frustrated halftime interview to Brazilian media before heading off into the locker room. Whatever emotions she carried into the locker room translated into results on the pitch in the second half. Her next two goals were almost entirely of her own creation, including a run that started just on the other side of the midfield line and ended with a on-target shot from inside the 18-yard box to beat three U.S. players tracking back as well as goalkeeper Hope Solo. Marta's hat-trick performance was enough to lift Brazil past the U.S. 3-2. Due credit to the Brazilian legend for a performance worthy of her nomination for the FIFA Ballon d'Or. However, I would be remiss not to mention the considerable lack of organization and defensive work in the U.S. midfield. For the entire match, Lauren Holliday was often left to try and contain Marta, as well as other Brazilians pushing forward, acting as the only point of defense before the back line. The other players in the midfield were nearly always caught on the break, several yards behind the Brazilian attack. So after two games, the U.S. was sitting on a single point. To advance to the final with Brazil, the U.S. needed a blowout against Argentina and for Brazil to beat China. Luckily for them, and any U.S. viewer who didn't want to watch a second consecutive blowout against Argentina, both of those things happened. The final was a wet and not so wild affair as the U.S. sat back and absorbed pressure for the first 60 minutes of the match, a stark contrast from their last meeting 1 week prior. The strategy paid off defensively as the U.S. kept a clean sheet. However, there was basically no threat of an offensive attack either. Substitutions in the second half included Allie Krieger for Laura Chalupny, Amy Rodriguez for Abby Wambach, Megan Rapinoe for Kelly O'Hara, and Heather O'Reilly for Tobin Heath. The fresh legs and desperation to score from both sides allowed the final 20 minutes of the match to be a far more open affair. Two missed penalty kick calls benefited the U.S., while the Brazilians were thankful that Amy Rodriguez's goal was called offside. In the end, neither side broke through, and the match ended 0-0, and Brazil lifted the trophy. This tournament marks the conclusion of a mixed year for the U.S. women's national team. They will regroup in Southern California with a large camp that will include both U23 players, NWSL standouts, and the current senior national team pool of players in January. Happy New Year to you all.
So big thanks to Sarah there, and we will now conclude with our look at what's going on in the Frauen-Bundesliga, of course, going into its winter break. So Brian Maguire, our correspondent, is going to fill us in on what's been going on out in Germany. So over to you, Brian.
German football signed off for 2014 with the Cup quarterfinals on the weekend. Tie of the round was in Frankfurt, where Bayern Munich were the visitors exactly 2 weeks after they blew a giant hole in the side of Frankfurt's title charge. This time round, it was Frankfurt who were the stronger team, and they rushed into a 3-0 lead. Goals from Vero Baketti, Kirsten Garofigas and Jennifer Marajan put Frankfurt into the semi-finals before Melanie Leupolz scored a late consolation. In the other quarter-finals, there was an extraordinary game in Freiburg, where second division Gütersloh ranched into a 3-0 lead in the first half. Freiburg managed to get that back to 3-3 before running out as a stronger team in extra time, 7-3. They joined then Wolfsburg, who also had needed extra time to get through their quarterfinal against Zandt Saturday, and Turbina Potsdam, who left it late but got through against Cologne. The draw for the semi-final would take place in early January. League action wrapped up a week earlier in Germany, and going into the Christmas break as the leaders is, well, no surprise, VfL Wolfsburg. And indeed, they've given a statement of intent for the rest of the season by signing Julius Simic from Turbina Potsdam. Wolfsburg still want to win the treble again, and they look very fit to do so. In second place, it's Bayern Munich and not Frankfurt, as expected before the start of the season, and they are only 2 points behind the leaders. However, there's only 9 games left, and Bayern Munich against Wolfsburg, which should take place in about March, could decide the title. As for the other title contender, Frankfurt, well, it looks pretty difficult to see how they're going to make up that gap. The only time they can play against one of their rivals is on the last day of the season at home against Wolfsburg. The league returns in mid-February. Before that, they'll be moving into the indoor season, as well as through the transfer season. Whether any big shocks and changes will be happening between now and then, that remains to be seen.
Big thanks there to Brian, and we look forward to the league commencing again in the new year. So finishing on Germany leads us nicely into our interview for this episode of the show with Spanish international Vero Baketti, who is of course currently playing for Frankfurt out in the Frauen-Bundesliga, a player whose stock is rising every month, I would say. Certainly a player that if you'd asked a lot of people 2 years ago might not know so much about, but due to having appeared in the European Championships last year, the Women's Champions League final this year, and in the NWSL, Vero is certainly becoming a household name, and of course made the shortlist of 10 for the Ballon d'Or that will be announced in January. Unfortunately, didn't make the final three. I think she would have made a lot of people's shortlist, but unfortunately not those that count. So instead of rambling on, I am going to hand over to our interview with Vero, and she answers some of your questions at the end. So here she is. Okay, so I'm delighted and privileged to be joined by the Spanish international Vero Baketti, who obviously represents FFC Frankfurt out in Germany at the moment, but people will also remember her playing for Portland Thorns this season and obviously earlier in the year, Tyresö in Sweden. So I guess the first thing is, hola Vero.
Hola.
How are you keeping? How is life in Germany treating you?
It's good. I'm here now 3 months, and in the beginning it was no easy, but now it's getting better, and I'm happy to be in a strong team and try to fight for all the titles.
You've been there 3 months. It's not been an easy 3 months though, has it? You've had some difficult games and some results that maybe haven't gone your way, but at the right end of the league, but how do you try and compete with that superpower that is Wolfsburg?
Well, we have a good team. We have good players, but obviously Wolfsburg is a really, really strong team, and they are playing together, or almost all them are the same for during years. And well, it's hard to compete with them, but it's our goal. And we know that right now in the league, this last two lose were really hard for us, but we still are alive, and we will fight until the end, and also we will fight for the Pokal and for the Champions League.
You've got one game left at the time of recording before you go on the winter break, and then when you return, you obviously have a Champions League tie in March against English opposition in the shape of Bristol Academy. How much are you looking forward to that tie? Obviously, it's a quarter final, so it's a big game for you, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, because Champions is a special competition for everyone, but especially for me. I grew up in Spain, where Champions League men's, of course, is the bigger thing. So always that I play this competition, is I feel something different. And this is a good chance for us to go through to the next round. And we know that it will be no easy against Bristol, but we have time to be prepared, and we hope to be able to beat them.
And obviously, the news came out this week that Natalia has left the club, left Bristol Academy to join Arsenal Ladies. But a couple of other Spanish players, including Laura Del Rio in the Bristol side, how much are you looking forward to coming up against them?
Yeah, always that you play against Spanish players is special, and I don't have that chance so many times, because we don't have too many players playing abroad. But obviously it will be special if they are still there, and I'm looking forward to meet them and to play against them.
Your midfield partner, Jess Fishlock, used to play for Bristol Academy. A lot of people will know her for being quite a character. How are you adjusting to playing alongside her for Frankfurt? Are you enjoying it?
Yeah, I enjoy it so much. I played against Fishlock when she was in Bristol. I was in Russia in food, energy. So we play a Champions League playoff against them, and it was the first time that I played against her, and also in with Portland, and she was with Seattle, and now it's always better to have the good players in your side instead that to have to play against them.
You obviously, you mentioned that you've come up against her in the NWSL. There's obviously quite a fierce rivalry between Portland Thorns and Seattle Reign. How much has there been some joking between the two of you about the season in America this year?
Not so much joking, because, well, for them it was a really good season, but for us it wasn't. So jokes is better than no. But of course we talk about our games, and we talk about all the season in general, and how I live it there, and how she enjoy it also in Seattle. And well, we don't know, but maybe in the future we are there again. Who knows?
Well, you mentioned Portland. Obviously, you joined about halfway through the season, obviously, after Tirso were wound up due to financial problems. How much did you enjoy the experience out in Portland? You'd played in America before. When I spoke to Paul Riley just before you signed, he told me he was signing, in his view, one of the best midfielders in the world. How much did you enjoy playing under him in Portland and in the NWSL?
I really enjoyed so much, even if the season it was not great for us, because we didn't get the title or even reach the final. But to play in Portland is a life experience. I never playing a full stadium like in Portland. Every game, like, the fans are the best in the world for sure, and you don't have that opportunity in anywhere, like no in Sweden, no in Germany, no in Spain, of course. And so play there with crazy fans that they love us, and every game you feel like a really, really professional, and it was special. It was special also to play again for Paul, and I appreciate so much all his confidence. And well, I don't know if I will come back to US in the future, but come back to Portland, it will be great.
So are you not, at the moment, you're not contracted to go back to Portland for next year? You're not sure what's happening with your future after Germany?
No. I have a contract with Frankfurt until May, before the World Cup. And after the World Cup, I'm free. So I don't know what I will do after that. So I just want to be focused in this season with Frankfurt and then in the World Cup.
Okay. Now, when you joined Portland, over here in England, the games are on quite late, and I watched one of your games, and it was against the Boston Breakers. And you won the game 6-3, I think it was. It was a home game for you guys. And all I remember was you absolutely running the show in midfield. How much did you enjoy the sort of the relationship that you had with the supporters? Because your reputation, as I said to you before the interview, has grown very quickly, and you quickly became a fan favourite, didn't you?
Yeah, actually they gave me a hour in the end of the season that I was the favorite player for all the Portland fans, and I appreciate that a lot. Since the first moment, I have a special connection with our fans, and I always say that play for them and in front of them was one of the best things and experience of my life. So the only way that I have to show them how thankful I am is just try to play my best, and this was what I try to do every game.
Now, we mentioned earlier that you obviously ended up in America because of the situation that you found yourself in Sweden with Tyresö. I mean, going back, I'm sure it was very difficult, and to be fair to you players, you've not really come out and said too much about it, but when all the news came out that Tyresö were struggling financially and that the club might have to end, how did you as a player deal with that, and how much did it affect you in terms of wondering where your future might lie?
Well, actually, I already signed with Portland before than all this came out. So my future, it will be exactly the same. After the Champions League final, I will come to US and just play there. But anyway, it was a really hard moment because it was, I don't know, was really hard for everyone to leave that situation during so many months, and at the same time compete and prepare in the high level. And we have a dream team. Everyone remember like a dream team because we enjoy it so much. Every player miss each other and miss Tyresö a lot, and we know that we will never have the chance again to play in a special team like that. And also all the way through the final and all that we have to deal with, it just make everything even more strong, and it was an experience that we will never forget.
Now, American fans won't thank me for saying this, but I watched last week Brazil come back from 2-0 down to beat the US women's national team 3-2, and Marta was by far the best player on the pitch and obviously scored a hat-trick. Now, for a lot of people, we don't get to see a lot of Swedish football, and there were a lot of people, probably including myself, who questioned Marta's inclusion on the Ballon d'Or shortlist. Now, you played with her every week in Tyresö. Tell us how special she is, and why is it that she's on that Ballon d'Or list in your view?
Well, Marta is different. She's the best player that I ever seen, and I don't think that we will see another player like her. She's just different. She made the difference when she decide, and she win games. And maybe these last years were not the best. More than the best, maybe not the where she played more games because she had some injuries, so it was a really hard moment for her. But she always have all the respect and all the trust of her teammates, that it was all us. And we never have any doubt about her. We knew that when we need her, she will be there. She was trying, and she's always trying her best. And yeah, I'm happy also for her that she could show to everyone how good she is and how good she is still. Because some people was talking, yeah, maybe she's over and over. Like Marta, I don't think that she will be never over, because she's so good that even if she's not in her 100%, she's still the best.
Well, you will get the opportunity to come up against her, won't you? And I've left this deliberately to the end because I want to move on to the World Cup draw, which took place a couple of weeks ago. And you are in the same group as Marta because you will come up against Brazil, and you will also come up against the Korean Republic and Costa Rica. Now, a couple of people on Twitter have asked how you felt about your group, and I'm going to ask you the same question. So when the draw was made, what was your initial reaction?
Actually, it was I was happy with my group because it could be worse. We saw all the groups, so maybe if you check, maybe this is not the hardest one. But of course, right now is the one that we have, and is the hardest one. We know that Brazil is, of course, the favorite in our group, and then we have to try to deal with South Korea and Costa Rica. The good thing for us is that all these three rivals have a similar style like us. They like to play, they like to have the ball, they have long possessions, they are so technique, and maybe that is something good for us because we don't feel so comfortable against teams that are more physical. So we will see if we can prepare this World Cup how we should, and try to show that we are so close to the big teams.
What's the reaction been like back at home? We obviously know the reputation and the stature of the men's team, one of the best sides that anyone will have seen ever when they were dominating, winning World Cup and European Championships. How much on the radar is the Spanish women's team after qualifying for their first World Cup?
Actually, our qualification was the first in the history, so it gets bigger than we thought. Like we have a lot of time in the media, and everyone talk about this thing, and that is what we want. We know that yeah, we go to a World Cup and we will enjoy, but our job, we have also another job, and is try to get doors open for the girls that come in behind us, and try to get a better situation for Spanish women's football.
How optimistic are you that you can do well? We've seen how quickly Spain have progressed. I was in the stadium when you beat England at the European Championships last year, Vera. You made me a very miserable man that day. but I've been following women's football for about 5 or 6 years, and Spain are definitely one of the fastest growing teams in Europe in terms of skill and in terms of reputation. Your players like yourself, Jenny Hermoso, Adriana, you are now getting a very talented squad together, aren't you?
Yeah, and we have players from different age, and we have really success in younger teams. We played the last under-17 World Cup final. We play another years also Euro Cup and World Cups finals. And these players are coming, and they come with another mentality, because maybe before, the players that we were before, we never have the chance to play against a big team in the same or thinking that we can beat them. But they already did when they were young, so now they come, and they come with a winner mentality, and this is helping us a lot. And I think that we have a good combination of generations, and this is our moment, and we will try to do something great in Canada.
You mentioned earlier that you've not had much chance to come up against Spanish players because not many of them move abroad. Do you think that's helped the fact that they're now starting to do that? We obviously saw in the NWSL there was yourself, Adriana, Sonia Bermudez, Vicky Lasada are all playing in America. We've got Natalia over here in England. A lot of the players make up the Barcelona side that have not done too badly in the Champions League. They've obviously exited now. But the fact that so many players are now moving abroad, is that part of the reason why the Spanish team is improving so quickly?
Yeah, and this is one of the keys, because play abroad give you experience. And in the end, when we play international games, you play against the best players, and they have so many games on their backs, and we have to give something else. And maybe we didn't have that before, but now players are stronger, we play and we practice better and more, and we are just excited to keep this level and try to do it even better the next year and the next tournament.
So I guess my final question before we take questions from Twitter, how well do you think Spain can do at the World Cup? What are your expectations?
Well, we can. We have a sentence. Our sentence is dreaming big, and obviously we can dream big and think that we will do a great World Cup and dream with the title. But this is not a realistic thing. It's our first World Cup, so our first goal is pass the first round, and that is what we'll try to do. And obviously, our biggest goal will be try to get a position for the Olympic Games in Rio next year. But for that, we know that we have to do something great. And I mean, let's see. How we play in Canada, how we feel, and let's see. I don't think that they put any pressure will help us. So we go there like with if like we were child and it's our first World Cup, we're going to enjoy, but for sure we want to compete.
Okay, that's great. Okay, so Vero has very kindly agreed to answer some of your questions. We did put out on Twitter that she would be happy to answer some queries coming her way, and you have come through with quite a lot, so we're going to have to try and pick a few and work our way through. So, the first person who responded, Vero, was Car Charlene, and she asked, how are you so awesome? So let's maybe rephrase that, is how is it that you've got to the level that you're at?
Well, so much work. I started to play when I was five, and when I was a kid, I couldn't dream to be professional because I even didn't know that there was a chance. So when I saw the chance, I just took it, and I just worked hard to be where I am now. And every day when I wake up, I just tell myself that today is a perfect day to keep learning, and that is what I do every day.
Okay, brilliant. Now this one's come in Spanish from I'm Not an Angel, and they have asked, I've translated it into English as best I can, how does it feel to be a role model for many girls today who want to become like you, girls like myself?
Well, that is my biggest success. When I get nominated for the gold ball, I say that that one kid or the kids want to be like me is more important than all the gold balls in the world. So for me, have so much meaning, and it's a motivation. It's to know that they are looking at me, or they want to be with me. They are pushing me higher.
Okay. This is a good question from Just Coy, who says, what players on the Spanish women's team should we look out for in the Women's World Cup? Who's going to have a big tournament?
Well, I hope, and I think that we have kind of few. Like, we have a really talented group, but I should say maybe one for position, and maybe Irene Paredes in our defense. I think that she will have a good World Cup. Silvia Meseguer on the midfielder, Gianni Hermoso also in the midfield there, and I hope our killer Natalia.
Okay. This one has come from Clodagh Donovan, who has asked, will we ever see you in the English Women's Super League?
Why not? I played in US, in Germany, and in Sweden, also in Russia. So I played in the best leagues, and I think that the English league is growing so fast. And it's another chance for me to be in another great league. And I don't know what I'm going to do after May, so maybe England is one of the options.
Okay. Blog Olympic Marseille Feminines has asked, rumours are that you will go back to the NWSL. Will you stay in Frankfurt if you do not qualify for the next stage of the Champions League, which I think you've already answered? But they've also asked, how about going to France in the future? Gracias.
Yeah, I like I say, I have contract in Frankfurt all this season. So until the World Cup, I will be here the full season. After that, I don't know about my future. Can be US, can be France, can be England, or can be Germany again. So we will see what the destiny wants for me.
Okay, Melissa asks, what's the difference you've seen between the NWSL and Germany?
Well, I think that here in both leagues are so physical, but maybe here in Germany it's also a little more tactic and technique. Sometimes in US the games get crazy and like transitions are so fast and maybe it's a little chaos, but I enjoy to play there, and I'm enjoying now here in Germany. I just think that you have to adapt and be ready for every style.
Okay. Bruno Bezerra says, at the technical level of the German league, is it the same as the Swedish league? And how do they compare with the NWSL, as I think you've just gone on to? But how does the German league compare to the Swedish league, perhaps?
My experience in Sweden was really, really good. I think that we have a really strong league, like here in Germany. Maybe now here in Germany you have more teams that they are in a high level. Maybe it's like four teams that are fighting for the title, while in Sweden maybe it was just two or three. So that make a little difference. But also the worst teams in Sweden are as good or maybe even better than here in Germany. So the league are a little similar. In both, the level or physical is high. Technique and tactic are more or less the same. The only difference maybe is that the team where you play, like I say, for me, Tirse was the dream team, and I played there three seasons, and everyone was on the same page. And maybe here in Frankfurt, we need a little more time to enjoy in the same way.
Okay. Rachel Sack asks, what was your favourite soccer moment of 2014? A tough one, because you had a great year.
Maybe even if we lost, that Champions League final, it was special. All the way to that final was special, but of course, just play, even if we lose, we changed the... We were crying in the end, but when we realized what we did and when we realized how strong we became after all that months that were a little crazy, make us enjoy more the moment. And for me, was the best moment of this 2014.
Okay, few more. Raquel Acevedo asked, congratulations on qualifying to the Women's World Cup. You played with some incredible club players. Who impressed you the most this year?
Maybe I think that Kristen Press. She did a great season with us. It's an amazing forward. She scored so many goals for us, and I think that is a player that have a great future, and also present with. National team, and it will be great to see her sign in the World Cup.
Do you know what? I said a few more, but looking at some of the other questions, a lot of them we've already answered. What are your chances in the World Cup? Someone has asked, do you feel well with us in Frankfurt? I think you've answered that one as well. So actually, do you know what, Vero? I think you've gone through quite a few there, so I'm sure people will be very pleased with the responses. I have one more myself. You mentioned, I think it was in the answer to someone asking about being a role model, the fact that you were on the Ballon d'Or long list along with 9 other players. Was that for you the moment that you realised that you are up there with some of the best in the world? Because as I said, your reputation this year has grown very, very quickly. I think a lot of people will have known about you in the last couple of years, but this year in particular, having played in Sweden and in America and in Germany, when you were named on that Ballon d'Or list initially, was that when you realised, you know what, I am a big player and I have a big reputation and I do have to be a role model now?
Well, when I saw my name in that list, obviously it was special because I just remembered how hard the way it was, and so it was like a recognition for all my my years of work. But I always say that for me, it was no individual success. It was a team success, because without my teammates in Tirse or in the national team or in Portland or now in Frankfurt, I could reach that list. So nothing changed after that. The only thing is that obviously it's a big motivation for me now in the future. I want to be in that list again. I want to be one of the finalists, and I want to dream that one day maybe I can lift the trophy. Even if that never happened, it will be always in my mind to be the best or try to be the best, and that will make me a better player and also, I hope, a better person.
Brilliant. Vero, it's been a pleasure. I'm sure people will agree that it's been a very insightful interview. We wish you the very best for the rest of the season with Frankfurt. I will see you in Bristol for when you come over for the Champions League, and have a very, very Merry Christmas.
Oh, thank you so much. It was a pleasure for me too, and I hope everyone enjoyed the interview.
Women's Soccer Zone. Listen to the show on Audioboom or download via iTunes. Just search for Women's Soccer Zone.
So big thanks there to Vero, no doubt a player that is going to continue influencing her Frankfurt side, and one that I'm sure many are looking forward to seeing on the world stage when she represents Spain at the World Cup in Canada next year. And that brings us nicely to the end of the show, and I have to say a massive thanks to Vero for giving me her time so close to Christmas, and of course to our correspondents Sarah Gerke, Rachel Collier and Brian Maguire. And of course, and probably most importantly, I have to thank you, the listener. It's been a busy 2014 in the world of women's football, and I thank you for continuing to download this show and for following our Twitter feed that we try and keep as updated as possible. But we do thank you for your continued support and for your continued interest. If you do wish to follow us on Twitter, if you're not doing so already, you can follow us on @WosoZone. If you wish to email us, you can do. We are on wosozone@gmail.com. And of course, to listen to the show, either go to iTunes and search for Women's Soccer Zone, or go to the website audioboom.com/wosozone, where you'll be able to listen to all the past episodes as well. So the last thing for me to do is to wish you all a very, very Merry Christmas. And I do hope that you all have a fantastic new year, and I will see you again in 2015, a World Cup year, so lots to be excited about. So see you all then.